see everyone here today.
Glad for this opportunity, and thank you for this opportunity to share God's Word with you this morning. Excuse me just a second here. Were you able to put the slides that I sent you to? Okay. All right. I wanted to start by sharing a word of testimony with you, and then my prayer. I want to share my word of testimony with you as a way to help us get to know one another a little better. We were talking about this, we sang this song that a sinner saved by grace. And I'm thankful as a young child, 9 years of age, I went to the kitchen where my mother was and I told her I wanted to get saved. And I had heard the Sunday school, I'd heard the Bible, I knew that I was a sinner, I knew I needed to get saved. And I'm thankful that that young age, at the age of 9, my mother showed me from the Bible how I could trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I asked the Lord to save me at the age of 9. And I'm thankful for that. A couple years ago, my mother went to be with the Lord in heaven, and I was able to share that testimony at her funeral and give thanks for that. And then I guess I really dedicated my life to the Lord at the age of 18. I was just finished high school, and you know, right now is the time of graduation. Several friends are graduating. There's probably some of you here, and I was getting ready to go to college. And during that summertime, my 13-year-old sister suddenly passed away, and that made me think for the first time. You know, I thought I'd go to college and kind of made my own plans, but it made me think about for the first time about, you know, what was God's plan for my life. And so I really, because of that, dedicated my heart to the Lord. Now, I do want to share this. My wife, Sharon, Hart, is not with us today because at Graceway Church, we have a small group that we meet called Grief Share. And we're working with people who are going through grief. And so she's leading that small group this morning. So I want you to know, you know, Sharon's not with us today, but would like to be with us here. And so that was something that God used to pull my heart. And, you know, some of you, I'm sure, have gone through grief also. And, you know, grief can be something that can turn us to God, or in some cases, some people, it causes them to turn away from God. But grief is something that God can give us a comfort and help us get through that time of grief. I told you 2 years ago, my mother passed away, and my wife's parents within the last 5 years have passed away. But a couple years ago, a little over a year ago, my son, at the age of 26, suddenly had a heart attack and he passed away. We never know how long our life is here on this earth. Two of our grandchildren, one who was stillborn, went to be with the Lord, and then one, a few months old, died of an accidental drowning. And you know, these things, you know, they cause us to realize that there is an eternity. And I dedicated my heart because of that to the Lord. And I went to college as an accounting major. My father had been in business. He was a businessman, had his own business, and I just kind of thought probably one day I would be working with my father in his business. So I was a business major, accounting major. But through all that happened, God began to deal with my heart. I had a roommate, and he had been in the military, was stationed over in the Far East. And so he invited me to come to what was called Far East Prayer Band. We would pray for the missionaries in the Far East, and we would pray for God's working in the Far East. And And God began to deal with my heart through that. And there were seven of us met almost every night for prayer. And five of us eventually went to the Far East and answers to those prayers. And so God began to lead. At the end of my freshman year of college, I changed my major to Bible. I had a roommate who was a child of a missionary. And, I said, what should I major in? He was a major in missions. He said, well, you ought to major in Bible. You need to know the Bible. And so that's what I did. I majored in Bible. And God continued to lead my life. And I want to share this with you because God leads us in different ways. My brother came to the same university a couple years later. And, he first majored in Bible and he changed later to accounting. And today my brother runs my father's business. So God leads us in different ways to do His will. And my brother is in God's will. And as much as I would like to be in God's will, my brother runs a business, but he also is a Sunday school teacher and serving God where God has him. And then the third thing, as I came to my senior year of the university, the college, I met a missionary, and they were starting a Bible college in Taiwan. And another student, myself, they were wanting us to come and help them start the Bible college in Taiwan. And so God led to go to Taiwan, and I was there for 9 years. Thank the Lord for that. I loved it there. And a few weeks ago, you met Stephen, one of my former students there. And praise God for what God has done in his life and through his ministry. And so the Lord has also led not only ministry of teaching. I went, taught in a Bible college, taught English. And then after returned here to States, I was a school teacher, Kansas City, Missouri School District for 18 years. And for the last 5 years, I've been teaching in the Lee Summit School District. And then the Lord led while I was in Taiwan to start a church in Liu Bao Village. Now, Liu Bao Village was out in Taichung County. There was no other churches in that village, over 20,000 people. And so God led to start that church there. And 2 years ago, they celebrated their 30th anniversary. And praise God for that. And Pastor Stephen Chen was he was a third pastor there at that church of Diobao. And then for the last 18 years, I've been a lay pastor at Graceway Church. And as a lay pastor, meaning that I minister there, but I do not receive a salary because I'm a school teacher. I thank God for His leading in my life. So I want to share with you that testimony. And then my prayer. I think, Lord, help me to preach the Word. And every time you preach the Word or you study the Bible, there are three questions you need to ask. The first question you need to ask as you look in the Bible is, what does it say? You want to look at what does the Bible say? This is the Word of God. And then the second question that we need to ask is, what does it mean? Understanding what God is saying to us through His Word. And then the third question, what does it mean for me or for you? How do I respond to God's Word? So those are three questions we need to ask every time we study the Word of God or we would preach the Word of God. And everywhere we go, people have needs. You never know your neighbor, the person next to you, the person you work with, what they're going through. What needs that they have. So I'm reminded of the words in John chapter 12 and verse 21. These men who came to the disciples and said these words, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Whatever problem we have, whatever difficulty we have, whatever you're going through right now, you need to realize that Jesus is the answer. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Now, I also think that God has given us in every culture a bridge to the gospel. Every culture, every language, I think that God has given us a bridge to the gospel. This year, I teach Chinese in the Lee Summit School District. And so my Chinese students, this is the year of the sheep. And so they designed this T-shirt. The students themselves designed this T-shirt for the year of the sheep, 2015. And so one student designed the front of it. They had a little contest. The winning design is up for the front, and the other winning design was on the back. And I thought, what a message this is, the year of the sheep, or the lamb, or the goat. So let's look to the Lord in prayer as we consider this. The year of the sheep, the year of the goat, the year of the lamb. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word that You've given to us. And I pray, Father, that You would help us understand what it says, what it means, and how we are to respond to it. Lord, I thank You that we can look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We can look to the Lamb of God. Father, help us, whatever any one of us here is facing today, help us to turn our eyes today to the Lamb of God. Lord, speak to our hearts. May Your Spirit give the words. Fill Your messenger with Your Spirit and open our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, the Lamb of God. I want to talk to you about, first of all, about the Lamb. And I guess I have a remote here I'm supposed to use. All right. There we go. This is the year of the sheep, the Lamb, the Lamb of God. And as we think about the Lamb of God, I want you to think about the Lamb as our clothing. Now, turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We look here at Genesis chapter 3, and we think about, first of all, the first question, what is sin? All right, what is sin? Now, I think about, many definitions of sin. Take the English word sin, and what you have at the center is I. And, sin is certainly selfishness. It's thinking about I. Certainly that is sin. But sin is more than that. It's disobedience against God. It's disobeying God's word. Now, we all need to realize that, and I like the gospel bridge here, I like the look at the Chinese characters. And the Chinese word for God, Shang Di, reminds us that there is one who is above us all. Even the emperor had to acknowledge the one above the emperor, Shang Di. And every year, I've been to Beijing, I've been to the Temple of Heaven, and every year the emperor would come and make a sacrifice for the good harvest, the Temple of Heaven, to Shang Di. All right? There are no idols there in the Temple of Heaven. To the Creator God, to Shang Di, on behalf of the people, he would make a sacrifice. And then we see here in Genesis chapter 3 that sin is disobedience to God's word, to God's commands. Now in Genesis chapter 2, God had put Adam and Eve in a garden, and he had told them they could eat of the fruit of all the trees in the garden. But in the midst of the garden, in the middle of the garden, there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's also a tree of life. And of these two trees, they were not to eat of. But everything else, they were free to eat of. All right? This is the first commandment. Now, you know, we know of God's Ten Commandments that was given through Moses, Mount Sinai. And many have studied the Old Testament, said that there are like 613 commandments that God has given to us. And then the two commandments that Jesus Christ emphasized, that all the law can be summarized, these two commandments. Love God with all your heart and love one another. And these commandments, when we fail to obey these commandments, we fall short of the glory of God. And that's what sin is, falling short of God's glory. Now, I want you to see this character here. The two trees. You have God's command underneath the two trees is prohibit. God knows what's good for us. Just like driving down the street of Taiwan or China. Cannot park here. Prohibit. Ginger. All right? So, God's command underneath the two trees reminds us that God puts boundaries because He loves His love for us. Cannot eat of these two trees. And we find here in Genesis chapter 3 that the woman looked at these two trees and they looked like they were good to eat of. And then we see in Genesis chapter 3, Mokwe, the devil. It's interesting, the character here again. You have two trees, two trees, hiding underneath the two trees is an evil spirit, Mokwe. And how the devil came and tempted, you know, listen here to the words of the devil. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So what's the devil doing here? He's questioning God's word. Did God really say that? All right. And then we read on down here, he denies God's word. Look at verse 4. You will not certainly die. All right? So we see the devil coming. The next character is interesting to me also because, again, you see the two trees, and you have a woman underneath the two trees. You have the Chinese word for covet, tanlan. Now, I always tell people, I often give the gospel. I like to write these characters on a napkin, even in a restaurant or whatever. And I often tell, you know, men and women both covet. Want something that doesn't belong to us. That's what it means to covet. But it's interesting, here in the Chinese characters, which go back 5,000 years, you know, the time of the writing of the book of Genesis and so forth, that it's a woman underneath the two trees. It's a word for covet. Now, because the first to covet was the woman. She took of the fruit, she ate of it, she gave it to her husband, Adam. He took of it, he ate of it, and they both sinned against God. So what is sin? Sin is disobedience to God. The next question we need to ask then, well, what is sin then? The picture here, Zui, I think it's interesting. The bottom part of this character, again, is fei, is to listen to a lie. You know, the devil's lie. You can do it. Get away with it. Don't worry. Nobody's going to see it. Listen to the devil's lie. You're not going to die. You're not going to suffer any consequences. And what happens here? This is a net. When we listen to a lie, we get caught in a net. We're bound. We get caught in a net. That's what sin is. Listening to a lie and caught in a net. Here's a picture of the Chinese characters give us a picture of sin. So the next question is, what is righteousness? After man and woman sinned against God, what did they do? They realized the shame that sin brought. And they took fig leaves and they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. Made very poor clothing. Not only was it uncomfortable, but didn't do a very good job of covering. And so God asked them, where are you? What have you done? And then they told him what they had done. And God in His mercy, made a covering for our sin. And the covering for our sin can be found in the Lamb. The Chinese character is very interesting. The Lamb over me is a Chinese word for righteous. I am a sinner. But when I trust in the Lamb of God, He covers my sin. And by faith in Jesus Christ, I am made righteous. The Lamb over me is what makes me righteous. It's a covering for our sin. And so God gave them a clothing that they could cover themselves. And God will give us a covering for our sin through the Lamb. And so the Lamb over me is what makes me righteous. So we have here, in Jesus Christ, I can become righteous. The Lamb over me. The perfect Lamb was chosen. The Lamb was sacrificed. It gave its life. And the blood was shed. So our righteousness, like that those fig leaves, where Isaiah tells us our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Anything we would do to try to cover up our sin, try to hide it, try to cover it, is filthy rags, what God says in Isaiah. You can see that in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Only God's righteousness completely covers. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Jesus Christ covers us. And the Lamb over me is what makes me righteous. What a beautiful picture of salvation that is. That God has given to us, even in the Chinese characters. So we see the Lamb. And that the Lamb over me is what makes me righteous. Next, I want you to see the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is our beauty. I told you about the students designing this t-shirt. It's very interesting. They took all these lambs to make one big lamb. All right? And what a picture that is. All the Old Testament, all the lambs that were sacrificed, all pointed to one big lamb. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who would come to cover our sin and to take away our sin. The Lamb of God. Now it's interesting that the Lamb of God, that expression only occurs two times in the Bible. John 1:29, John 1:36. John the Baptist is introducing his disciples here, Andrew and John, pointing them to Jesus. He says, look, the Lamb of God. All these lambs of the Old Testament, here is the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Now it's interesting that another Chinese character here that we see is the word beautiful. You have a lamb. One big lamb is beautiful. And all those lambs point to one big lamb that is beautiful. You know what? We find in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2, the Messiah will be beautiful and glorious. All the Old Testament is a type pointing to the beautiful, glorious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we see here that He is the beautiful Lamb. Now, the Lamb of God was, a foreshadow, a type in the Old Testament that would be revealed in the New Testament. As John said, behold, look, the Lamb of God. Now, where do we find the Lamb? Genesis 22 and verse 8. When Abraham was about to offer his son Isaac, and Isaac asked the question, where is the lamb? And Abraham said to him, God Himself will provide the lamb. Genesis 22 and verse 8. And God Himself God Himself became the Lamb of God. God provided Himself the Lamb. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, became the Lamb of God to die on the cross for our sins. And then we see in the Old Testament the Passover Lamb. The plagues came upon Egypt. And the last plague was the oldest son of each family was killed by the angel of death. But God told the people of Israel that they were to take the Passover Lamb, take the blood of that Lamb and put it on the door of each household. And then in Exodus 12:23 it says, "And when He sees the blood, the Lord will pass over." Now, it's not part of this message today, but it's very interesting when you compare the Jewish Passover to the Chinese New Year. The red around the doors. Every Chinese New Year, you put the red, around the doors. Very similar to the Passover. A lot of other similarities. Very interesting to study that. But we see the Passover Lamb, again, pointing because in 1 Corinthians 5:7 it says that Jesus is the Passover. As He died for us on the cross, He is the Passover. He is that Passover Lamb. And then in Leviticus chapter 16, the Day of Atonement is called the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Every year, the nation of Israel, on this special day, they were told to take two goats. And the first goat was to become, the priest would lay the hands upon it. It was a sin offering that they were to offer on behalf of the people. So that first goat was to become that sin offering. And that points to, again, the Lamb of God. All the sin was put upon that. And then the second goat was called a scapegoat. And the hands would be put upon that goat, and that goat would be sent out to wilderness to represent the fact that our sin is taken away from us. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the goat and the scapegoat. He is the Lamb of God. And so the scapegoat, sin substitute lamb, is it sent out to the wilderness, bearing our sin, taking our sin away from us. And so the sin is removed by the scapegoat. Isaiah 53, verse 7. The lamb that led to the slaughter willingly gives of its life. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19 tells us the gentle lamb that gave willingly of its life led to the slaughter. And then again, 1 Peter 1:19, the lamb without blemish or defect. They had to take a lamb that had no blemishes on it. And only Jesus Christ could become the Lamb of God. He who knew no sin, who was sinless, could die in our place and take the judgment of God. Behold, look, the Lamb of God. And then we come to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the Lamb is mentioned 29 times in the book of Revelation. But it's a different word. It's a word for Lamb. But in the book of Revelation, as we look here, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The Lamb who is worthy, and Revelation chapter 5. See, in the book of Revelation, we see the Lamb who was slain and has become the conqueror Lamb, the triumphant Lamb. We behold the Lamb of God who comes a second time to conquer. Now, it's interesting to me as John introduces the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, he first says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And we go down to verse 36, starting with verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And we saw Jesus pass by. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And both of these speak of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus' first coming as the Lamb of God. And then the next day, "Look, the Lamb of God" speaks of His second coming, that He will come as the conquering Lamb. He will come as the triumphant Lamb to rule and to reign as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So what should be our response to the Lamb? Look. Now this is not just a little gaze. This is not just a quick look. Look with your eyes. Behold and see this Lamb of God. What should be our response? To look to believe. Again, I like the Chinese character for believe. You have a person leaning against the Word. That's a beautiful picture of what it is to believe. I'm going to lean on God's Word. I'm going to believe what God said is true. Leaning on the Word. Look and believe. And so we see again in John chapter 1 that when the two disciples heard Him say this, they followed Jesus. They believed and they followed Jesus. That's the response we should have. When we look to the Lamb of God, believing in our hearts, we follow Him. We confess our sin to Him and ask Him to remove our sin from us. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look and believe. And then our second response should be this. Look to admire. Again, very interesting, this Chinese character. All right. Again, Lamb, time. Every time I see the Lamb of God who willingly gave His life for me, what happens? I admire Xian Mu. Xin Xin. Xin Xian. Xian Mu. I admire that Lamb of God. So what happens? We come to Revelation chapter 5. Turn there if you would, please. Revelation chapter 5. Here we see the scene in heaven. Revelation chapter 5. First of all, starting in verse 6. Then I saw a Lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. And going down to verse 7. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And all the people, all those fell down before the Lamb. Verse 8. And they began to sing a song to the Lamb, and as they admired and honored and gave glory to the Lamb. Look at verse 9 here. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because You were slain, and with Your blood You purchased for God." So persons from every tribe and language and people and nations, You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And go down to verse 12. In a loud voice they were saying this, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then down at verse 13, and to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, to praise be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. So as we look at the Lamb that was slain, we not only believe and put our faith and trust in Him, but every time we think about the Lamb, we admire. We want to honor that Lamb. So I want to say to you what the Bible says, that Jesus is the Lamb. And all the lambs in the Bible point to the Lamb of God. And so I want to respond how the Bible says I should respond, by looking to believe and to admire the Lamb of God. 2015, this is the year of the Lamb. And if you've never trusted in the Lamb of God, this would be the year to do that. To put your faith in the Lamb of God. And if you've done that, every time you think about that Lamb, you ought to admire and honor and praise the Lamb of God. So will you look at the Lamb of God who first came to take away the sin of the world? And will you look again, the Lamb of God who will come a second time to triumph over evil? O God, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and praise. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You for each one that's here today. And Father, You alone know our hearts. Whatever troubles we may be going through, whatever difficulties we may be going through, whatever we may be facing, we know that Jesus is the answer. In our sin problem, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, He is the answer. And Lord, I pray if there be anyone here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, have never believed in the Word of God, that He is the Lamb of God, that He is our clothing, He is our covering, and that the Lamb over me is what makes me righteous. I pray that You would speak to that heart today, and that, Lord, open their heart to receive the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Lord, we may feel sometimes, some days, that evil is greater than that which is good. But we know the triumphant Lamb is coming. And He has triumphed, He has conquered all evil. He's coming again. And Father, help us to admire that Lamb and to honor and give glory and praise to the Lamb of God. Help us keep our look on the Lamb. Not on our problems, not on the difficulties, not on the evil around us. But keep our hearts and keep our look on the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, who is coming again as a triumphant Lamb, and who is worthy of all our praise. O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.